Good morning.
Good morning.
The first reading is from Ephesians chapter 1, verses 11 through 23. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined to according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to put our hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possessions, to the praise of his glory. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you. Remembering you in my prayers, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparable great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is the body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. The second reading is Psalm 149. Praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song, his praise in the assembly of his faithful people. Let Israel rejoice in their Maker. Let the people of Zion be glad in their king. Let them praise his name with dancing and make music to him with tremble and harp. For the Lord takes delight in his people. He crowns the humble with victory, lets his faithful people rejoice in his honor and sing for joy on their beds. May the praise of God be in their mouth and a double-edged sword in their hands to inflict vengeance on the nations and punishment on the peoples, to bind their kings with fetters, their nobles with shackles of iron, to carry out the sentence written against them. This is the glory of all his faithful people. Praise the Lord. Here ends the reading.
Please stand if you're able for the reading of the gospel. Today's gospel comes from the 6th chapter of Luke, verses 20 through 31. Looking at his disciples, he said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who hunger now, for you will be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, when they exclude you and insult you and reject your name as evil, because of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, because great is your reward in heaven, for that is how their ancestors treated the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have already received your comfort. Woe to you who are well fed now, for you will go hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when everyone speaks well of you, for that is how their ancestors treated the false prophets. But to you who are listening, I say, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. If someone slaps you on one cheek, turn to them the other also. If someone takes your coat, do not withhold your shirt from them. Give to everyone who asks you. And if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you." Here ends the reading. You may be seated. Lord, we thank you for your word, and we ask that it would speak to us now. Speak to our spirit, speak to our hearts, speak to our minds, that
that we may know you better. Amen. To know him better. You know, not just knowing about God, but knowing him. I know I've used that example before, but that just speaks so strongly to me. You go through Sunday school, you learn all the stories. You know all about God. You can answer all the questions. You can take a multiple choice test, and you'll get it all right. But do you know him personally? Is it someone that you talk to and relate to and just are living in a relationship with? Yes. Well, we get to live in a relationship with him here on earth, but even more so, the next level, when we get to heaven where we're going. As believers, we are guaranteed this. Guaranteed. So the psalm today sort of gives us maybe a little picture of that, what we're looking forward to. Sing to the Lord a new song. Every day let us do that, a new song. Let us just well up within us and praise him. His praise in the assembly of his faithful people. Well, we have an assembly of the faithful right here. And this Sunday morning around the world, the faithful are meeting, but there's also another assembly that we get to be a part of someday. And on All Saints Day, we can just imagine Dennis already being there, and that we're going to be there as well as believers. It's going to be incredible. Going to be incredible. In God's presence, you know, just praising him, rejoicing, and communing with others. And I don't know what all it's going to be like, but it's going to be good. Let the people of Zion be glad in their king. And yes, we are going to. We are already, but it'll be next level. Let them praise his name with dancing. Okay, I'm limited in my dancing ability, okay? But someday we'll be made whole and I'll be able to dance, okay? And we'll all be able to sing, I mean, to praise God. And it's going to be incredible. We're going to be complete. We're going to be whole. All he intended and made us to be. So we can praise his name with dancing. We can do that here too. I don't see a whole lot of people on Sunday mornings dancing, but feel free if the Spirit leads. Or maybe you're just out by yourself sometime and you just start dancing before the Lord, okay? Nothing wrong with that. Praise him with dancing. Praise him with the timbrel, with the harp, with all kinds of things, right? Like we had said in the Old Testament, their worship was incredible. They had music. They would have shouting to the Lord, chanting, dancing, processions, incense, offerings, sacrifices, tithes, preaching, stories, petitions, prayers, vows, vigils, creeds, confessions, meals, washings, silence, and fasting, all these different things that they could do to praise God. I mean, the list goes on. There's so much we can do to praise him. So yeah, if you get the Spirit to dance or praise him with the timbrel and the harp, if you have that ability, go for it. For the Lord takes a delight in his people. He delights in us. He has prepared a place for us. He's a God of love. As I'm pulling out of the driveway this morning, I'm just thanking him for that. That we have a God who loves us. You know, anybody feel deserving of that? I sure don't. He knows all about me and he still loves me. I mean, wow. That's our God. He is love. And imagine if he wasn't. You know, if he was a judgmental God. You will, you know, or else, right? We'd be trembling. And perhaps we ought to be tremble. But thanks to Jesus, he made it possible for us not to tremble, but to stand before him. All right, so he crowns the humble with victory. Let his faithful people rejoice in his honor and sing for joy, even on their beds, okay, at all times, singing for joy, praising him. So the first half of the psalm is just, it's all about praise. And you know, yes, yes, yes. And then it turns for the second half. May the praise of God be in their mouths and a double-edged sword in their hands to inflict vengeance on the nations and punishment on the peoples to bind their kings with fetters. Well, it definitely goes Old Testament now, doesn't it? Okay. And maybe we can't relate to that so much. But we do all have a sword. Ephesians 6:17, right? The sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. The word of God is powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword, right? That's what it says in Hebrews 4:12 there, able to separate bone from marrow, spirit and soul. It's incredibly sharp, and that's his word, which is a weapon, can be. The sword, unlike all the other military accoutrements, we find in Ephesians 6, we have the helmet of salvation, we have belt of truth, we have the breastplate of righteousness, all these things. They're all defensive, but the sword is the offensive one. Can also be used in defense. You can parry blows with it. It's very versatile. Here we have a two-edged sword, twice as effective, perhaps. And swords are mentioned,
Like I said, in Ephesians, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and it's powerful. We can use this word then to drive away the enemy. Think of Jesus when he was tempted in the wilderness. How did he respond? With the word of God. Every time he was tempted, he responded with the word of God. That was his sword there. In Revelations, we see, well, a couple of places. 1:16, first of all, the image of the two-edged sword. Should have tabbed that. I'll get there. So in Revelations 1, the first part where he's the seven letters to the churches, to which I'm going to get here shortly. Okay, we have 1:16, and it's talking about this vision of Jesus. I'll start with verse 13 there. Among the lampstands was someone like a son of man, dressed in a robe reaching down to his feet with a golden sash around his chest. The hair on his head was white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were like blazing fire. His feet were like bronze glowing in a furnace, and his voice was like the sound of rushing waters. In his right hand he held seven stars, and coming out of his mouth was a sharp, double-edged sword. His face was like the sun shining in all its brilliance. So again, the word proceeding from the mouth is that double-edged sword, which is powerful. It can do incredible things. Revelation 19, then, later on in the chapter, we have the second mention of the sword here. Alrighty. And again, this vision of Jesus. I'll start at verse 11 here. I saw heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse, whose rider is called Faithful and True. With justice he judges and wages war. His eyes are like blazing fire, and on his head are many crowns. He has a name written on him that no one knows but he himself. He is dressed in a robe dipped in blood, and his name is the Word of God. The armies of heaven were following him, riding on white horses and dressed in fine linen, white and clean. Coming out of his mouth is a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations. So once again, these visions that John received in Revelation, the sword figures prominently and is associated with the Word of God, this powerful word to which we have access, which we can wield. When we are tempted, we can respond with Scripture. We can overcome enemies with Scripture. We can do so much with his word. So read his word, know his word, be well-versed in Scripture, pun intended. Be well-versed in it and able to use it to overcome the enemy. And this is what we can do. Respond with Scripture. Overcome with Scripture, with his word, which has an incredible power beyond what we know. It is truly incredible. So know this word. Stand on this word. Use this word. This power was also addressed in Ephesians. Now, the Ephesians, the letter here, this Ephesus is an important seaport and trade route along the Mediterranean. It's in present-day Turkey. This church was established here, and Paul's writing to them to build them up, to lift them up, and to instruct them, but to reassure them as well. This letter has many purposes. And it starts out with a reassurance. In him we are also chosen. Chosen by God. That's humbling. We don't earn it. We can't earn it. We can't be good enough. We can't follow the law perfectly, but he chose us. And you were also included in Christ when you heard the message of truth. So here's where you got entry into the kingdom. You hear that message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you're marked in him with a seal. So again, the act of believing, can't state that enough, how important that is to believe. He who believes will be saved, right? So by believing, we are marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. We've all been sealed. If you believe, you've been sealed with that Holy Spirit. This seal is going to protect. The seal is going to keep you, and it's just sort of a foretaste. It's a promise of what's to come here. Indeed, it is, like he says, a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance. So if you've been marked with that seal, if you believe and the Holy Spirit has sealed you, you are guaranteed an inheritance in the kingdom. And we're talking God's guarantee. Many of you have probably have guarantees on a car that you bought or something like that, and some human's going to try to find some little loophole to get out of that, right? Yeah,
It's a very human thing, okay? But God's guarantee is firm. It is steadfast. There are no loopholes. This is greater than any human guarantee. If God guarantees something, it's going to happen. So we can rejoice in that. If you received him and believe in his name, that you are guaranteed that inheritance. Live in thanks to that. Tell others about it. Testify about it, how good our God is and how he has guaranteed you that future. Wow. It doesn't get any better to have that guarantee from God. But along with this comes a responsibility. And that's what we're going to hear here in just a bit. But first of all, a prayer that Paul prays, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Oh, Lord, give that to us. That we would have your wisdom and revelation. That we'd be able to see things as you do, Lord, and live accordingly, represent you faithfully. To give you that spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. Again, to know God. Not just know about him, but to know him. And to build that relationship. When you first meet someone, yeah, you might start having a polite discussion, trying to find some common ground upon which you can build. And then after a while, you start to know that person better and better and better. And that's what he's praying here, that they would know God more deeply, more intimately, more thoroughly. And once you get to know him, you understand his will better too. And you can live according to his will in ways that honor him. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, that we can recognize God's presence. That we may know the hope he has called you to, the riches of his glorious inheritance. Okay, but to be enlightened, to have wisdom and revelation, we ask that, Lord. Alrighty, and here's the part. I was talking about the power, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. He gives us power. What kind of power? Well, it follows up, that power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead. Like we were singing earlier, the same power lives in us. That's an incredible power. And it lives within us. It's telling us right here in Scripture, that same power lives in us. Well, with great power comes great responsibility. What are we to do with this power? Certainly not to use it for selfish means, not to build ourselves up, but for good. To use it for the kingdom. We've been given this power. We have this word, the sword of the Spirit. And again, we have to use it. Don't let it go to waste. Use this Holy Spirit within you, this power, the Word of God, to make a difference in this world, to help others, to build them up, to lift them up, to show them what's possible with God, and to bring them hope. Let us all do that. Use us for that, Lord. Don't let this power go to waste. Don't just set it on the shelf. Same way with your Bible, right? Don't just leave it sitting on the shelf or on the coffee table for all to see that, hey, I'm a Christian. Right? This is to be used. This is a tool. Some tools are used more than others, right? I've got some tools that sat on the shelf for a while. I probably haven't used them, but there comes a time and a place. We got some other tools that we use a lot, and this is our primary one right here. It's got answers for all types of different things. You're in a situation, you're in a quandary, you don't know what to do? Answers in here. Don't know how to respond to something? The answer's in here. Use it. So use this power as well. Let us be out there and active for God and for the kingdom. Not just setting it on a shelf once again. It's an incredible power. And definitely don't misuse it. So how are we to use it? How are we to wield it? What kinds of situations? Well, we see some of that in the gospel today, where Jesus is speaking to the disciples. And again, he's being countercultural, which is our God. I love it. To use this power then, but to you who are listening, I say, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. It's so easy to respond in kind when someone makes threats or persecutes you or attacks you. But no, we are to overcome evil with good. We are to use this power in ways to do good for others, even those who attack us. Love your enemies. To love them, not just to be nice, which can be tough enough sometimes.
but to actually love them. Wow, that's deep. That's more than just words here, if we were to do that. To love our enemies. By doing that, we're showing what God is like. We're showing love. Do good to those who hate you. Again, overcome evil with good. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. That tough to do? Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. That's what Jesus tells us to do. Again, to use his power for good. And there's incredible power in prayer and incredible power in blessings. And we are to use these to respond with good. If someone slaps you on one cheek, turn to them the other also. Now, this is not a physical slap. This would be like an insult in the context of the times. And it was an insult to slap. It wasn't something that's going to, you're not going to die from the slap, okay? It's an insulting thing. But now I'll turn the other one too. The person will be shaming themselves as a result. If someone takes your coat, do not withhold your shirt from them. Here, take this also. Again, doing good for others. Give to everyone who asks of you. And if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Wow. The just thing, the right thing, would be to demand it back. Maybe to take them to court and sue them over it, or whatever the case may be, to somehow get it back and get them back. But Jesus is saying, no, love them. That sends a more powerful message. When someone does evil and then they are loved in return, they should stop and take a look inside. And that's what Jesus wants. The people to stop and take a look inside and to look at their actions and what they're doing and why they're doing it. There's a motive behind it as well. And we can set that in motion by being kind, by loving others, by being good to them when they're evil to us. Hopefully they take it to heart. Maybe not. Maybe they're that hardened. We don't know. But we're going to do our part. We are going to do our part. And to do to others as you would have them do to you. We all want people to treat us nice. We all appreciate a compliment, an uplifting thing, pat on the back. We are to do that not only to our friends, but to all. Again, setting that example for the kingdom. Wielding the power that has been given us to love others, to lift others up, to be there for others, to be there with others, to care, and to love, which goes even deeper. So Lord, provide us these situations and show them to us, pointing out that our opportunities that we have to love others as Christians, to proclaim the gospel by doing simple things, by saying nice words and actions that we carry out to your glory. In closing, I'd like just to pray that same prayer over you as Paul prayed over the Ephesians here. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. Amen. He's given you that power.